Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, December 1st. Going to take a look at the December 2014 Lutheran Witness today. We're going to talk with managing editor Adrian Hines in just a little bit. Also, one of the contributors this month, Christian Belke, director of missionary services from the Office of International Mission, on his contribution to the Lutheran Witness this month. So we're going to talk about that, and also going to take a look at the Giving Tree. It's part of the 90-day celebration here at Worldwide KFUO, celebrating 90 years of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ on the airwaves and now online, in podcasts and on demand, all kinds of ways that you can listen to the good news of Jesus Christ at Worldwide KFUO. AM 850 here in St. Louis, Missouri, USA, and online at kfuo.org. Go check out kfuo.org for a couple of things. You can find information on this 90-day celebration, celebrating 90 years, and how you can be a part of the Giving Tree, and we're going to talk more about that at the end of the hour. And also, go check it out so you can find information about our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin. You'll find information on them in the sponsor section. All kinds of good stuff at kfuo.org. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/KFUO radio. Lots of cool pictures there. You can see some pictures of the Giving Tree there on Facebook as well. So go check it out, kfuo.org or facebook.com/KFUO radio. Lots of good stuff there. Well, it is time to talk about this month's Lutheran Witness. Joining us by phone, Adrian Hines, managing editor of the Lutheran Witness and LCMS Catechetical Information. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Andy.
How are you not frozen this morning?
I am under about 3 layers of blankets this morning, so that's how I'm doing. It's going to be a long winter.
Bring your blankets to work day, huh?
Amen to that. Every day is that for me, that's for sure.
Yes, it's a chilly day here in the Midwest, but I was checking around for some of our worldwide listeners in the forecast this morning in South Dakota, parts of South Dakota, 2 degrees this morning.
It can always be worse, can't it?
I thought, in the 20s was kind of chilly when I left and dealing with the freezing rain and sleet, but 26 isn't so bad when it's 2 degrees for our neighbors just a little to the north.
It's a practical heat wave.
But, looking at our listeners in the U.S. Virgin Islands, 80 degrees and clear right now. So I guess it's all relative.
We may need a KFUO trip over there, surely.
I have offered to do any of the live broadcasts from any tropical destinations. I've been first in line to do any of those live broadcasts, yet none of them have come up yet. So
you're taking one for the team, though, by offering, and that's commendable.
Hey, I did get to go to tropical Kansas City not too long ago.
That's right. Tropical something. I'm not sure what.
Well, tell us, let's talk about Lutheran Witness for this month, the December issue. And it's all about reindeer and sleighs and snow and Santa Claus, if I remember correctly, right?
I think you've got it. I think that's exactly what this month is about. No, I think this month's most important article, obviously, was on the 90th anniversary of KFUO.
Yeah, great little spot in there.
Featured there, and all the good work that you do there in proclaiming the gospel and helping those who may not have heard about Christ hear about him, and those of us who have getting to learn more and deepen in our own faith. So thank you for all that you and the folks at KFUO do.
Well, thanks. It was fun to see us featured there in the Lutheran Witness this month, and certainly talking about 90 years of God's blessings here at Worldwide KFUO. It's neat to get to be a part of this celebration and all that God has done. And for me, it's been exciting to hear the history, having only been with Worldwide KFUO for about, 16, 17 months now. It's exciting to hear some of the history, right before the week before Thanksgiving was our history week here, and hearing some of the clips and the music from the KFUO choir was really kind of cool. And we have some neat exhibits out in the lobby here at the International Center of some of the stuff. I think in addition to hearing all the voices from the past, also something you can see on display here in the lobby are some of the technology from the early days of KFUO, and the tubes that are the size of probably my head the task, you know, the functions of that equipment now can be carried out by probably a chip smaller than my fingernail, you know, on my little pinky finger. It's just
amazing.
Yeah. How technology has changed. And likewise for, you know, even for our print material, you know, Lutheran Witness, some things have changed over the years as well. Now that we have electronic edition of Lutheran Witness and online content as well.
Absolutely. And a Facebook page.
That's right.
That's the beauty of some of these new things, is that you get to continue for another 90 years, maybe in a different medium, but continue that way.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we're still, you know, still holding on to broadcasting on AM. I haven't let go of that. We're broadcasting on AM 850 and added to that live streaming on the internet, and then also the podcasts and on demand resources as well. So folks can go back later on and listen to this stuff. If you can't listen to it live, you can go back and listen later on, whether it's in podcast or on demand. All great stuff, great ways. It's so accessible now, which is, you know, I guess a great way to make it available, considering we think we are so busy these days.
Absolutely, which is partially why we need KFUO and the Lutheran Witness to remind us every now and then just to slow down a bit,
mm-hmm.
and to focus on the things that God has to give that a lot of times we're too busy and we rush right past.
And that's what this season that we're in now, Advent, it certainly encourages us to slow down, to be prepared. As we were studying the daily New Testament reading this morning with Chaplain Mueller, it's a season of being prepared, not just for the Christ child who comes in the manger, but for the parousia, for the return of Christ, and how does he prepare us for that? And that comes up in quite a bit of the themes in this month's Lutheran Witness. How would you describe the theme of this month's Lutheran Witness?
You know, we try and touch on all things Advent and Christmas. Anything you might experience in the month of December, we tried to speak to that. One of our goals, and one of the things that a lot of our church workers have asked for, is more help in focusing on and explaining Advent. I think it's something that we all sort of know about, but we feel as though, well, Advent is the season of the church year where we prepare for Christmas, and we've kind of already got that down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know how to prepare. We get our tree, we make a lot of food, we have our friends over, and we just kind of wait for the 25th. And pastors and deaconesses and DCEs and other church workers that we have heard from have said to us, you know, help us better explain that it's more than that, that there's kind of this mad dash to the finish line that we call Christmas, but that there's a lot that we can learn about ourselves and about Christ as we wait for him to come to us at Christmas. And so Reverend Gregory Alms, who actually also writes for our online content quite often, wrote a piece for us that sort of explains a trifold meaning to Advent: wanting, waiting, and welcoming, and how those three actions slow us down and focus us on Christ, and are not only good disciplines and good things to ponder during Advent, but throughout all of the church year. I think I was probably in my mid-20s when I sort of realized during Lent, actually, that we order our life around the church. The church doesn't order its life around us. And Advent can teach us that same thing, that Advent teaches us to slow down, that we are waiting, that we are in a season of what Pastor Alms, I think, called the season of not yet. And it directs us to Jesus and what he has to do for us, and not so much what the world may try to toss our way.
There's the three W's: wanting, waiting, and welcoming. That also reminds me of another phrase I once heard about the Christian life, and it's really about Advent as well: while we wait for Jesus to come. And there's so much that happens in life while we wait for Jesus to return. There's so much that happens in the season of Advent that the part of it, the important part of it is the waiting, what's happening while we're waiting.
Absolutely, and I think that another article by Pastor Whedon in this issue called "Beholding His Glory,"
mm-hmm.
that teaches us that same sort of thing. I think a lot of times we sort of know what to expect with Christmas, or we know what to expect with the church services, and it's easy to kind of breeze past some of those things because we've heard those hymns or we've heard those scripture passages. And Pastor Whedon does a good job of saying if we really take time to slow down, that wanting and waiting, and we listen to what our Lord has to tell us and what he has to show us and what he has to give us, it really is an amazing thing that we have a Savior who would become a child, who would come to us in flesh and blood just like us, and that sometimes it's easy to sort of think, well, that we know that already. Let's move on to the next thing. And his article is a great encouragement to us to focus on those things again this year, that it really does almost blow your mind that you have a Savior who loves you so much that he would become like you, and that we are able to celebrate that later this month.
That he would take on human flesh and blood, and that he would be, take on that humble state, that human state. And we're going to talk about that coming up in the second segment. We're going to talk with one of the contributors, Christian Belke, on his article on the incarnation and what it means that Jesus was that Jesus is the incarnation. I was going to say was, but he is the incarnation for us. And what does that mean, especially for our students in the academic setting? I love that so many of the issues of Lutheran Witness include the Believe Boldly column, our hashtag Believe Boldly. I love that you have been including that this year. I guess it's been going on for, what, about a year now? Maybe a little longer?
Yeah, maybe a little bit longer than a year. We really wanted to help our young adults in the church know that they are a part of this too, that this isn't just a magazine for parents or for grandparents, that this is for everybody in the church. And I was talking with a Lutheran school teacher this weekend, and she said, yeah, I have a young man in my fifth grade class who loves reading the Lutheran Witness. She said, we use it in our class, and he came in the other day and had read an article that he wanted to talk about with me, and that just brings us so much joy to know that there are things for people of all ages, for things for new Lutherans, things for people who have been Lutherans their whole life, mm-hmm. no matter what grade you are in school or whether or not you have grandchildren, that there's something that can teach you about the faith or that can encourage you in the faith and remind you that Christ is here for you within the pages of this little magazine.
And that's the nice thing about the Lutheran, one of the nice things about the Lutheran Witness is that it's broad and appeals to a broad audience, not just, like you said, not just grandmas and grandpas or even just moms and dads, but appeals to a broad audience, including those students in any grade. You know, you mentioned a fifth grader in classroom who loves to talk about this. How do you... every month you have different contributors, different writers for the Lutheran Witness. How do you go about finding, how do you gather such contributors to cover such a broad, to appeal to such a broad audience and to cover such a broad range of topics? I mean, this month with Advent and Christmas, how do you go about finding contributors for all these great topics?
Sure. Well, we like to find people who are the subject matter experts, and we like to find them from all over our church body. So a lot of times, if I've read something or maybe seen somebody post something on Facebook or Twitter or heard from someone, I went to a conference and this person gave a presentation on topic X and that was really helpful, I try and just kind of keep a tally of those things so that when we get to a theme that I think that person may fit well with, I can call them up and say, I know we've never met, but I'm here to see if you're willing to submit to the Lutheran Witness. And I just so appreciate having church workers who are well-versed in what it means to be Lutheran, because it's just makes my job so easy to be able to call someone up and say, hey, pastor, hey, deaconess, this is the topic. Can you write about this? Can you help Christians be able to articulate what this means to the people that they care about, the people around them? And I think our writers just, they hit them out of the park every time, and that's such a joy to me to be able to see that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking with Christian Belke here in a little bit, a Lutheran educator serving in missionary services here at the Office of International Mission in the International Center. And it's great to hear from all kinds of people. It's great to hear from pastors. It's great to hear from deaconesses, from Lutheran teachers, and lots of other lay folks as well who contribute each month to the Lutheran Witness. And I love the topics this month in Advent. What are some of your favorite Advent or Christmas traditions, whether it be for family or for in your congregation?
Oh, gosh, that's a hard one. I think that one of the great things that my family has figured out. For a long time, we never went to church on Christmas Day. And I have no idea why. I think we were just not all that Lutheran at the time. I'm not really sure. But we figured it out later in life. And one of the great joys we have now, even though we can't always all be together, is knowing that we're all going to church on Christmas Day, that even if we're in different time zones or in different states, that I can count on the fact that my parents and my sisters and my brothers and sisters-in-law, that we're all worshiping the same Jesus on the same day. And that's such a great comfort. That's one of the reasons that again, in this issue, we had a Pastor Mike Burdick from Illinois wrote about keeping Christ in Christmas, because we see that phrase or we hear that phrase a lot, and we're not really sure what exactly that means. What does it mean to keep Christ in Christmas? A lot of times it puts the focus on us. And what we learn from this article and what we learn from being in church is that the focus is really on Jesus, that it's not about us, and that our Lord comes to us in really tangible and earthy ways, that he comes to us in his water and word and baptism, that he comes to us in his supper, in his body and blood. And so there's comfort in knowing that Christ really is in Christmas, because he's coming to us in very, again, tangible ways, just as he came as a baby. He may not take the same form now, but he is just as there for us now as he was in Bethlehem. And that really binds families and Christians together across countries, continents, no matter where you may be celebrating the Christmas season, that you are centered around the same Jesus.
What about Advent? Do you have any favorite Advent traditions or developing those? I know, you have a new household. You all have been married, what, about a year and a half now?
Just a year, yes.
Just a year. Mm-hmm. Any new traditions that are forming in the Hines household?
You know, I have a love-hate relationship with Advent. I have only really begun to appreciate Advent in the last couple of years, and that is thanks to a pastor and a brother-in-law who's a pastor who have said, hey, slow up here, focus on Advent. And that's been good for me, because I usually like to breeze right past Advent. And so this year we are working on getting ourselves an Advent wreath. We are holding off on putting our Christmas tree up for a couple of weeks yet in an attempt to focus on the 12 days of Christmas a little more instead of on Advent. Mm-hmm. It's been a hard learning process, and it's still a challenge sometimes. My natural reaction is just to jump ahead to the 25th. But I think being surrounded by others who can remind you of what Advent is and the fact that it has a goal and a purpose all of its own, it's not a season to be diminished or rushed past, that's helped us slow down and start to form those traditions in our own family.
I know you said you were working on getting an Advent wreath. Just so you know, it is, we're in the season of Advent.
We are, I know. It's because my dear mother-in-law told me this weekend that I needed to find one and that she would help me do it. So, see, you need people in your life to hold your hand to make these things happen. So, thanks be to God for her and for propping me up while we make this difficult transition in celebrating Advent.
I just had to tease you. In our household, we do have an Advent wreath. Remembering to light the candles on a regular basis, and there's always this weird thing about the Advent candles. You've always got one that burns down really low, and then the other three, that don't necessarily, each one is burning for more weeks than the
right.
other. So, then you get this lopsided wreath, and it ends up kind of messy.
Well, I know I have two sisters who have families, and they use Advent wreaths with their children. And so every night when they do family devotions, a different child gets to take a turn lighting the candles. And it may not seem like a big thing, but that teaches even mm-hmm. our little ones that this is something that we can talk about and that we do and we focus on. So even our little people, even if they may not fully comprehend everything, they can take part in Advent too, even in simple ways.
With a 14-month-old, well, a soon-to-be 15-month-old, I'm not sure that candles are the safest choice. We have to use electric candles in our household. we have to use electric candles in our household. So
good idea. I like that.
one other feature in this month's Lutheran Witness, in the December Lutheran Witness, that I found really, I don't know if this is, I've never noticed it before, but maybe you've been doing it for a while, and that is a short and sweet. I love the short and sweet, the quotes from sermons for Advent and Christmas from pastors around the LCMS. And this was really cool. Just little snippets from their sermon, just one or two sentences, a quote from their sermons. Who came up with this idea? Great idea. Neat stuff.
You know, I came up with it one day. I just put as a Facebook status on my Facebook page, hey, pastors, tell me your favorite one line from one of your Christmas or Advent sermons. And it was the most fun feed I've had in a long time. There were hundreds of comments. I think pastors love going back and digging up to see what they've said in previous years. It's a little bit of a challenge to see what you've said or what you'd want to repeat again. And so it was just a really fun way for them to get to dig through and see what they've preached, over the years, and also for us to get to enjoy those when they may not be our pastor. We may never get to their church to hear a Christmas sermon, so this is a way for us to be able to do that. But I've gotten good feedback from people who've gotten a preview of the magazine, so I think it's something we'll probably do again in the future, just because it's a fun, neat read, and it gives us a chance to connect with our other brothers in Christ who are preaching all around the country.
Obviously, some of these stuck out for you, and that's why you included them here, but any favorites from Advent that you wanted to mention? Any shout-outs you want to give today?
Well, Pastor Whedon always does a wonderful job when he explains why we need Advent. Again, this goes back to my own need to better understand Advent. So his, where he says, we sort of are complacent in that we think we don't actually need to be forgiven of our sins. His is a great quote. And then I think there's also one from a pastor, Josh Lowe, that said, God wore diapers for Christmas.
I love that one.
Yes, that just makes it so real. It's such a wonderful, poetic image that this is your Lord and your Savior, and he's tiny and defenseless and helpless, and his mom even has to change his diapers. that says a lot about the way in which our Lord would humble himself for us.
I know, that one's great. That was the one that stood out for me, too. God wore diapers for Christmas.
Absolutely.
That's all about, the incarnation of Jesus. And that's what Christmas is about. Even Advent is the anticipation of that incarnation. And we're going to talk about the incarnation in just a little bit with Christian Belke in his article. So looking forward to talking with him. Anything, any web content you want to point us to this month as we wrap up our conversation here? Any web content, online material that you'd like for us to look at?
We're going to have a host of things this month, several things focusing on Advent, and then a couple of articles kind of along the lines of Deaconess Paul's article, Family Matters column article, on what you do when Christmas isn't the most cheery time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Dr. Bev Yonke write before about the fact that Christmas can be very difficult for some people, that sometimes depression and loneliness and all of those things really flare up around the holidays. And so we're going to have some articles that offer some encouragement in Christ and ways in which you can come alongside your brothers and sisters who may be suffering, and also just some great Christmas articles that you can use with your family at home if you need something for devotions, or certainly things to share on social media if you want to let your friends know what you're reading and thinking and praying about this Christmas. So a wide variety of things, a little bit for everybody.
Very good. Very good. You can. How can we find you on Facebook? How can we find the Lutheran Witness on Facebook?
It's facebook.com/The Lutheran Witness. About as easy as it can get.
We've been talking with Adrian Hines, Managing Editor of The Lutheran Witness and LCMS Catechetical Information. Adrian, thanks for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with Christian Belke, Director of Missionary Services, on his article, Making the Incarnation Case. On Faith and Family, stick around right after this.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The Democrats' fabricated war on women was designed to attack and defeat pro-life candidates. One political advisor said not only did it not work, it worked against them by making women feel manipulated. These comments didn't come from a conservative. They were made by Bill Curry, who twice ran as a Democrat candidate for governor of Connecticut. He was also a domestic advisor to President Bill Clinton. And let's face it, they knew how to manipulate women. But the Democrat members of Congress reelected the same tired old pro-abortion leadership. Curry says the Democrats are still in denial about this, even after the shellacking they took from the nation's voters. I'm all for pro-abortion candidates staying in denial, because it means more pro-life candidates will be elected.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit lcef.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me in studio this morning, Christian Belke, Director of Missionary Services in the Office of International Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Andy.
Good to have you back in studio again today. Pull you away from all your Skype calls with our missionaries and your desk and all the work that you're doing over there. And it's good work. We are so grateful for the work that you folks do in missionary services to keep our missionaries well-supported and let them know that that they're loved by their church back here in the U.S. as well.
Thank you.
Well, you wrote an article for this month's Lutheran Witness on the incarnation of Christ. It's called Making the Incarnation Case. Not everyone believes that Christmas is about Jesus' incarnation. So how do you explain what you believe about Jesus to your friends and your teachers? It's the hashtag Believe Boldly column for Lutheran Witness this month, which is usually it appeals to many people, but particularly for students, high school students, college students. And so we address the incarnation, which it's what true Advent and Christmas are all about, yet so often overlooked, misunderstood, especially in schools and universities in those academic settings. What are some of the common misunderstandings about Jesus? Christmas is a good time to talk about it. What are some of the common misunderstandings about Jesus?
Well, you certainly, just to go back a little bit, have a different discussion surrounding this time of year where the focus often was on Advent and Christmas. Now it's just holiday celebration. It's
chance it's the holiday season.
Yeah, and you have less of a focus on Jesus in particular. And when it does come up, there are a lot of questions because there are more people who either haven't heard of Jesus or have a false understanding of who he was. And there's three kind of main positions that people take when they're having this discussion, falsely take, I should say. And the first is that Jesus existed, and they'll acknowledge that. But they'll say that he was only a man. He was a good man. He was a good example.
He was a teacher.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he was not necessarily God. Hmm. And you'll find this even in world religions. The Hindus will say, they will acknowledge Jesus' existence, say he was a good teacher, he was a prophet, he had lots of things that they could learn, but they won't acknowledge his deity.
He was all about love, he cared about people, he did good.
Yes, yeah. Yes, the moral example. another one is that they will say that Jesus existed, and they will acknowledge his deity, but they won't acknowledge his being a man, that he actually came and lived in the flesh here on earth. And that presents certain challenges as well.
I would think that the latter is less common, that he was a deity, but not true man. I would think that that people would be more inclined to think that he was a human being, not true God, that he was a prophet, he was an enlightened one,
yes,
but not necessarily true God. He existed, but only as a deity and not true man. I've heard of before, but I don't know if I've encountered, maybe I have, I don't know if I've encountered people who believe that more so than just he was a man.
Yeah, and I would say the first position is one that is commonly encountered. The second, that he existed only as a deity, not nearly as common of an understanding or an idea that's out there. The third one is becoming increasingly more common, and the one that can be more challenging to defend against, and that is that Jesus never existed at all, that his entire existence is a myth. And in some cases, even that the myth was created by Romans and others to propagate a certain peace among the people, to appease the masses. But there's no, they would claim that there's no basis for that myth, and that it's nothing more than a good story.
He was essentially Frosty the Snowman. He only comes around once a year. He was a good guy. He wanted to bring joy and good cheer to everybody. But you don't have any real proof that he existed.
Exactly.
Just going on other, just going on stories that have been passed along, but there's no real evidence that he existed.
Yep, that's exactly it.
So if... I'm sure that our missionaries encounter this. I mean, we encounter this here in our culture. We encounter these worldviews in North American culture a lot. But I'm sure our missionaries probably experience all these different worldviews as well, maybe even more so than we do right here in our own backyard. How do you respond to these worldviews without beating someone up? How do you talk about the incarnation of Christ gently, respectfully, lovingly? How do you do that in especially, this time of year? How do you go about that? How do you start those conversations?
Well, a lot of times the conversation may start with a comment or a question from the individual. Oftentimes we have conversations and we assume certain things about the position of the person we're talking with. And in fact, I think sometimes even we assume that the people we're talking with on a regular basis understand the incarnation. And it might be a comment or a question that they throw out that that hits you and you say, well, wait a second, let's dig into that a little more. And the inclination is to, to jump right into maybe a condemning statement or a, you should know
what?
This type.
You don't believe that Jesus is true God and true man?
Exactly. And I think it's knowing that this is a foundational teaching of the church, we have to understand where the people we're talking with are coming from. Asking them questions to kind of dredge up and understand their underlying understanding of doctrine, if they even have an understanding of doctrine, if they are outside of the church, understanding what it is that they really believe. And not just what do they believe about Jesus, maybe they've never even heard of Jesus, what are their foundational beliefs? Because in digging up those things, you may find the opportunity to explain to them or to help them understand who this Jesus is and why his incarnation is so radical.
So what you're saying is answer questions with questions.
Yes.
Can you give us an example? You've shared some examples even here in your article as well. What would be a good example of answering a question with a question to get a better idea of where someone's coming from?
That's a very good question. Let's say somebody came to you and they were coming from the perspective of there was no historical evidence for even the fact that Christ lived. My question to them would be, what documentation do you have to support your position? Where is it that you believe that lack of evidence is found. There are certain places in, mm-hmm. in the Roman historians where you can point to very clearly that they name Jesus of Nazareth, that they talk about him, extra-biblical sources. And the challenge to them would be, how do you respond to these sources that cite Jesus? And engage in that conversation to get a perspective of how they view these historians. In some cases, you may find that they want to discredit these historians as well, or they may not be aware that those mm-hmm. Things exist.
You mentioned, you used a term here, extra-biblical sources. Support, and you encourage us to support our position with the scriptures and extra-biblical sources. What are extra-biblical sources, and why use these?
Extra-biblical sources would be, anything outside of the scriptures, the Roman historians, the archaeological evidences mm-hmm. that have been found. There are, numerous pieces of history that corroborate, details from sure. the scriptures that back up those things that can be used not as a primary case, because,
sure.
Our primary case is going to be the Word of God. Mm-hmm. That is what does the work. But these other things show that this is the Bible is not some alien book that's mm-hmm. just dropped into the middle of somewhere. It is supported by a world of evidence that this happened.
Well, when you speak truth, when you have the Word of God, which is truth, then certainly then truth is it's going to prevail.
Yes, yes.
Ultimately, I've heard I think one example that could possibly be included in those extra biblical sources would be Josephus. I've heard people mm-hmm. refer to that before yeah. as a historian, a historical document that supports all the truth that is already revealed in Scripture when it comes to the history. Well, how is Christmas a time, or even Advent, how is Advent or Christmas a useful time to have these conversations? Are there things that can come up throughout these seasons that could be useful?
Yeah, it is. The season is an opportunity, an extra opportunity to bring these topics up. Mm-hmm. When we look around, we'll often grumble at the materialism of the world, or we'll grumble about how why can't we say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays? And I think those things give us the opportunity to discuss the joy that we have, and the fact that joy comes through Christ. Without the incarnation, as Christians, what do we have? We have nothing. It was because of his love for us that he became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We sang in chapel this morning the Gerhard hymn, O Lord, How Shall I Meet You? And in verse 4, it starts, love caused your incarnation, love brought you down to me. Your thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. This is the great opportunity we mm-hmm. have at this time of year to talk about what is true freedom, what is the joy that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ, what is at a time of year when others can get overwhelmed by everything that's going
right,
on,
yeah.
the true reason why we celebrate, why we take time off, and that is because God became flesh and made his dwelling among us.
To quote the famous prophet Buddy the Elf, get through Christmas. Christmas is the best. We don't want to, so often we get bogged down with all the things of this world, and the chaos that of all the extra things that happen during the season that we think about just getting through the season. But there's so much to enjoy in this season, especially in season of Advent, in Christmas, that we can focus on the incarnation of Christ, that God came in human flesh, mm-hmm. true God in human flesh, came for us. Well, there you have it. Check it out in this month's, the December 2014 Lutheran Witness, Making the Incarnation Christ. It's the hashtag Believe Boldly column by Christian Belke this month. Christian, thanks so much for being our guest today, Director of Missionary Services and the Office of International Mission. Thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family.
Thank you very much.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with Joni Harwell about the Giving Tree here at Worldwide KFUO. Stick around for more Faith and Family right after this break.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU, inviting all college students and those with an interest in campus ministry to join us for Taboo, the 2015 National LCMS Campus Ministry Conference, this coming January 5th through 7th at St. Louis University in St. Louis. That's right, it's Taboo in the Lou. Find out more at lcms.org/LCMSU.
For the second year in a row, Thrivent Financial for Lutherans is proud to have been named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute. This recognition is given to organizations that go beyond making statements about doing business ethically and translate those words into action. Why Thrivent Financial? As a Christian membership organization, our shared values guide everything we do. When you work with us, you can be sure we strive to take great care to act responsibly and with integrity. To learn more, check us out at thrivent.com.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Have you ever thought about becoming a Worldwide KFUO Day sponsor? There are plenty of reasons to do so. Perhaps a birthday, an anniversary, celebration of a baptism, confirmation, graduation, any event. It's easy. Just call Mary or Joni at 1-800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524. And become a Worldwide KFUO Day sponsor today.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me in studio this morning, Joni Harwell, Manager of Development and Community Relations here at Worldwide KFUO, and sitting by our graceful, beautifully decorated giving tree. Joni, thanks for coming in and spending some time with me on Faith and Family today.
Thank you, Andy. I'm becoming a regular on the air today. During this 90th anniversary.
Well, yeah, it's a good time to get to talk together on the 90th anniversary. Now we have 90 days. We're part of the way into 90 days. We're what, about a little over a third of the way into 90 days? Right around.
Yeah, I guess you're right, because we started on November 3rd. Yeah. This is December 1st. Yes, correct.
So we're about a third into our 90 days of celebrating 90 years mm-hmm. of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ on the air, online, on demand, all these different ways. Obviously, originally started off on the air. I was enjoying the history the week before Thanksgiving and all the history tidbits there. And one of them, I had forgotten about one of our pieces of history, is that when KFUO started out, it was only on the air half of the day, sharing the signal with another station here.
I think it was with KSD.
That sounds right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So half of the airtime with KSD, and then eventually ending up getting the AM, a separate signal. And it wasn't originally AM 850. It was 890.
I think. Something like that. Right. Yeah. Right.
And then eventually AM 850. And then, all kinds of other great bits of history. But I thought that was very interesting. And so being an AM station for such a long time, longest Christian broadcasting station, if I remember
correctly. Continuously broadcasting Christian station in the world. And I, you know, what the thing about it is, many stations change their formats from time to time. Mm-hmm. We have always been about telling people about Jesus Christ as their Savior. That has always been the focus of KFUO, and God willing, it will always remain that. But, you know, a lot of stations, as I said, they come and go, they change their formats, they change what they're about, but we have always stayed there with that. And so anybody can tune in, AM 850 KFUO, or listen to us on the internet, KFUO.org. They're always going to hear us proclaiming Christ crucified.
That is a true sign of God's gifts and blessings. I've worked at three other stations, I believe, and they all have changed in one way or another, have changed formats. One is no longer in existence, but it is neat to be a part of something that has been proclaiming the good news of Jesus for so long, for 90 years. One way that God works to make that happen is through listener support. We are, in our title, the listener-supported broadcast service of the LCMS, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And so that happens through listeners who are listening and enjoying what God is doing through the broadcasts and hearing the good news and responding out of love.
Correct. Not out of
works of the law or anything like that, but out of love, because they want to see, they want to continue to hear that gospel message on the airwaves or online and podcasts, whatever. So something neat going on this week. What is I mentioned our history week. Last week was Thanksgiving for all the technology. This week is our tree, right?
It's our giving tree. And one thing I want to mention is we consider all the people who are part of the KFUO family, our listeners, they are our partners. Mm-hmm. They may be our partners in prayer, they may be our partners financially, but everyone is helping us share this message. We're in this together as a team. It's not like, you know, here we are on the air at KFUO and we're the ones doing all of this. No, we're here together serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and sharing this good news with the world. And yes, with our giving tree, we are asking our listeners, our partners, to make a donation to KFUO during our 90 days. And when you do that, we put your name on this giving tree. Now, this can be a gift that you, Andy, give yourself, or you might want to give it in honor of your wife, our little Oscar, or someone, you know, a lot of grandparents in the past have listened. My grandma, I mean, when she'd come and visit us, KFUO was on continuously. Your parents, give it in honor of them, and we will put your name and their name on our giving tree. Let me read for you a few that we've received so far. Kim of Santa Maria, California. Bruce and Allison of Indianapolis, Indiana. Floyd and Alice of Wenatchee, Washington. I hope I'm saying that right. And let's see, John and Kim, Manchester, Missouri. Let's see, in memory of Ruth Tomek by the Zion Lutheran Church of Litchfield, Illinois. Louise of St. Louis, Missouri. These are just a few, and you can see there
the tree's
numerous.
Covered. Yeah.
It's covered.
There's still some room, though.
There is still room. And when you give this gift, just remember that in giving this gift, you are partnering with us. You're helping us reach out to other people around the world who are listening daily to KFUO, who are hearing the gospel message. Some of them we don't know. Could be for the first time that they are hearing it, and we're having that opportunity to share it. But your giving tree, it's a beautiful tree. If you have a computer, you can go up, go to KFUO.org, and I know it's on Facebook. It's maybe on our webpage as well. You'll see Mary and Jenny and myself putting the names on. But please give a gift, share the love of Jesus, and honor someone in doing it.
Sure, it's well decorated. It's just a simple tree There's some green left, though. It could be covered with these little cards.
Wouldn't it be great if the whole thing was covered with cards and we saw no green?
Yeah, that would be great to be able to know that to hear from our listeners, to hear that support from our partners. I'm glad that you mentioned that that we are partners in this in this endeavor that the Lord has given us to do, to proclaim the good news of Jesus, not only through supporting with the Giving Tree, but also, as you mentioned, those who pray for the work of Worldwide KFUO. And our listeners quite often provide ideas and insights for our topics of conversation here on Faith and Family, and I know on other programs as well. Our listeners are some of our best resources in terms of finding out what it is that they want to hear that we can talk about on Faith and Family and other programs.
Absolutely. We just had someone about a week ago send us something and some information on a subject, and we're going to have that on this week. Mm-hmm. So yes, we do like that because KFUO wants to let people know what is going on out there, especially in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Make people aware of your organization, your group, your church body all around the world, what's mm-hmm. happening. And this is how we can do it. This is how we can share this information. I might also mention that with our Giving Tree, in giving, if you would like one of our KFUO t-shirts, mm-hmm. We're asking if you would consider giving a donation of $90 in honor of our 90 years, and we will send you a KFUO t-shirt. Just send us the size that you need, and if you'd rather just buy the t-shirt, we will send that to you also. The t-shirts are $15. But any amount that you can give, it will bless the ministry. It will help us share the love of Jesus with people around the world.
Those t-shirts go well with pajama pants for Christmas.
Oh, yes.
They're great for any occasion, but they go well with pajama pants for Christmas.
Yeah.
So they would make nice little, stocking stuffers.
Stocking stuffers. Yeah. And again, you're helping us tell people, because it has KFUO.org on it, has Martin Luther on it. You're helping us promote KFUO whenever you wear your t-shirt.
Absolutely. Well, listeners can find out more on our website or on the Facebook page, KFUO.org, or on Facebook.com/KFUO radio. You can find out more. And as you mentioned, that picture's on there. I saw that just recently of you three ladies decorating the tree with all the gracious gifts there. It was neat to come in this morning and to light up the tree this morning to start up our air shift this morning. It was a nice greeting as I returned from vacation to come in and see the beautiful tree here in the studio this morning, and would love to see it continually being decorated with more gifts from our partners.
And you also may call me direct, mm-hmm. Joni. My number is 314-996-1512. Again, that's 314-996-1512.
Well, Joni, we have just about 30 seconds left. Anything else to share with our listeners as we wrap up our time today on Faith and Family about the Worldwide KFUO Giving Tree?
Just be a partner with it. Remember your loved ones and help us continue to take the good news around the world.
Thanks so much, Joni, for coming in and spending some time with us this morning. Keep up the good work with all and you and the rest of the staff that are keeping in touch with all of our listeners and supporters and those who are partnering with us. It's great to see that encouragement coming in from our listeners. Thanks so much for doing what you do.
Thank you, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word right here on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO. Stick around for a study of God's Word with Pastor Whedon.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.